Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father, for once again giving us the awesome privileges of coming through your gates of thanksgiving, coming into your courts of praise, coming through to our church services, our rites, R-I-T-E-S, our ritual ceremonies, our traditions, our church services, our radio broadcasts, Bible studies, prayer meetings, all the things that we do, Father, in our service to you. Coming through there, through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the holy place, all the way behind the veil into your literal presence, my Father, where we can once again eat from the King's table, eat the King's food, to hear not just what man has to say about you, not even the prophet, but even beyond that, Father, to sit at the King's table and to hear what you think about all of us, Father. For what they spoke to us in time past was types and shadows, Father, of that which was to come. And that which was to come was your original word, what you said, Father. In time past, you spoke to us through the prophet, but in this last day, you're speaking to us, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the splitting image of you, who is you. For in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And of his fullness, everything that he was full of his fullness, have we all received. And for that, Father, we say thank you, Lord. And for that, we give you glory and honor and praise. And for that, Father, we come past the gates of thanksgiving, through the course of praise, through our services to you, all the way into your service to us, into your presence, once again, so that we can know your precepts, your original ideas and your original intent and your original plan and purpose and desire and will for all mankind's life, Father, which in these days you are making known by your Spirit to the church. So the church might be a holy nation that will impact all of the nations, my Father God. And Lord, you are doing a great thing in the earth. You begun a good work, and the good work that you begun, Father, you will complete that work, Father. Once again, we count it an honor and a privilege to be able to come all the way into your presence and just allow you to build us up and give us our inheritance, all of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. And again, Father, for that, we say thank you. We give you all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Now and forever, Father. And Holy Spirit, I humble myself under your mighty hand, and I ask that you would anoint these lips of clay to speak as the oracle of God, and that you would anoint every ear that's out there that hears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church in this hour. Holy Ghost, it's on you. You're the one that Jesus sent back to finish the work that the Father sent him to do. So we've humbled ourselves under the love of God. We've humbled ourselves under the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we humble ourselves under your ministry. You who will not speak of yourself, but you will speak of everything that Jesus Christ come to tell. You will lead us and guide us into the reality of everything that Jesus said, everything that he come to do, and his will and intent and desire for our lives. So once again, we humbly humble ourselves under your ministry, and we say, Holy Spirit, have your way in this broadcast today. And as in always, we are careful to give you, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, all of the praise, all of the honor, all of the worship. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever. It is in the power of attorney that you've given us, the name of Jesus, that we pray, Father, and make this petition known unto you. And Father, we know that anything that we ask according to your will, you hear us. And because we know that you hear us, then we also know that we have the petition that we desire of you. Holy Ghost, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, it's always an honor and a privilege to be able to share with y'all in this hour on this radio broadcast the love of God, the greatest story that has ever been told. It's called the Gospel of the Kingdom. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say this again. It's the greatest story that's ever been told. It's the greatest mystery. It's the greatest message that has ever been preached. It's a mystery that's been hidden, not from you, but hidden for you. So that in this generation, in this day and time, that you might discover it. But the Bible says, who knows whether you come into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Well, we're living in a generation where we're on the brink of a global explosion of this gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. It's like a little leaven now. It's like a little bitty mustard seed. A boy is going to grow up to be, man, a big tree, and all the birds of the air are going to come flock down. In other words, it's going to be the greatest message ever told, and all the people, man, are going to be flocking into the kingdom of God. Only reason why they ain't flocking into the kingdom of God right now is because they don't know about it. That's why God said in Hosea, my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Not a lack of knowledge of the Bible or the Word of God or theologians, seminar teachers, but a lack of knowledge, man, of the message of Jesus Christ. Listen, not the message about Jesus Christ. That's good. But I'm talking about the message that Jesus Christ preached. That's the greatest message of all the messages that have ever been preached. The story that Jesus Christ told, that's the greatest story of all the stories. You know, we have the history of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the law, and the prophets. All those are their stories. But I'm talking about, boy, his story. All those are the history of man, you know, and what man said and did for God, you know, even in the natural realm that we live in, and our history that we have. All those are stories of man, his story. The history of Abraham Lincoln, that's his story. The history of George Washington, that's his story. The history of the United States of America, that's his story. And then there's another story called capital H-I-S, his story. Who is that? The story of God, his story. And boy, listen, that's what the gospel of the kingdom is, God's story. Hallelujah. What God is doing and his way of doing what he's doing. That's why I say it's the greatest message. It's the greatest history. It's the greatest sermon. It's the greatest story that has ever been told. And boy, listen, the devil, you need to know this, you have an enemy. And you don't have but one motive operandi. And that motive operandi, boy, is to keep you from the knowledge of death. The Bible say in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it say, for this reason was Jesus Christ manifested, the Son of God manifested, to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. What's the greatest work of the devil? To separate you from his story. I ain't talking about the devil's story. I'm talking about from God's story. To separate you from, boy, the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, your dominion over this earth, and, boy, your kingdom authority and the power and dominion that you have already, right now. You know, he don't want you to come to the knowledge of that. He don't mind you coming to the knowledge of a whole bunch of things that's written in the Word. But he don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom. And it's been hidden in the graveyard of religion for the last 1,800 years. I don't think I'll be stretching it if I say for the last 1,800 years since Jesus Christ came. This message that I'm talking about, the kingdom of God, it's been hidden. It's been hidden in the graveyard of religion. Why you say the graveyard of religion? Because in time past, God dealt with us through rituals. R-I-T-E-S. That's where we get that word ritual from, rites. That word right there means pathways, you know, into a boy, you know, a relationship with God. That's kind of like religion. Rituals, ceremonies, traditional laws. And all these things have been passed down, tradition, have been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And it has produced, man, different types of religions in the earth today. But listen, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he came with a government on his shoulder, not a religion, not another religion. He had plenty of those in the earth. But he came with something different. He came with the governing influence of a territory called heaven. What? He came with the governing influence of that territory. What territory? Heaven. What? On his shoulder. What you mean? He come to bring back to earth the governing influence, man, of God over his territory called heaven and extending that to another territory, a colony that he called earth, for this purpose, that it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. The devil don't ever want you to understand that. The Bible say, how be it when the gospel of the kingdom is preached and we understand it not, then the wicked one, that's the devil, he coming immediately to rob that word out of your life. I'm going to say that again. When the Bible say, you know, giving a parable about the soul, you know. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a soul who went out to sow, and some seed fell by the wayside. That's like planting seed on a turn row in a field. It don't grow there. Say, whenever them seeds fall by there, what's there? That's the ones who hear it but don't understand it. And when they don't understand it, boy, the devil coming immediately to rob that word out of your life, because he don't ever want it to take root. Because once it take root in your life and start growing up, then he know one thing, that his authority, his power, his control, and his influence over your life is broken. Hallelujah. You'll learn, man, and come to the knowledge that, boy, you have more power than all the powers of your enemy. You'll come to the knowledge that the devil, man, is no longer man, have authority over you, man, boy. I'm talking about he's under your feet. You'll realize that you got more power than all the power of the enemy. And thereby, you know, and therefore, man, if you got more power than all the power of the devil, and what the power is, he come to bring division and lack and poverty and sickness and disease and death and all these things. Well, when you come to the knowledge that you got more power than all the powers of your enemy, then, boy, you'll stop the devil, man, from stealing, killing, and destroying. The Bible says in John 10:10, that's what the thief come to do, to steal, kill, and destroy. What? To steal a knowledge, man, the greatest knowledge of all knowledge, steal a knowledge of the kingdom of God from your life. And then, boy, want you to die without you ever coming to the knowledge of it. And then ultimately, boy, he want to destroy you. He wants you to be cast into the lake of fire in hell with him, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and all those who join forces with him. That's his motive operandi, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus say, boy, in that same passage of Scripture, John 10:10, he say, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. What kind of life? The Bible says in John there, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. In him was life. You say, that's the kind of life I come to bring you. What? The life that's in the Word of God. See, if you're not careful, you most ministers study the Bible to get a message out of it. But boy, that's not the purpose for it. That's a good thing. But the purpose for you reading the Bible is, man, to get the Bible out of the chapter and verse and get it on the inside of your spirit, to get the life that's in the Word of God on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Not to get a sermon out of it, not to get an inspirational message out of it, but to get the life that's in the Word. What, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And that light began to shine in darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out, couldn't oversee it, couldn't do nothing with it. Wow, it's greater than darkness. Glory to God. In fact, it'll put darkness out. And I'm talking about, boy, that's the life that Jesus Christ come to bring us. What? The God kind of life. Zoe. Life the way God lives, and life the way God created and intended for you and I to live. We call that abundant life. Superior in quality and superior in quantity. A whole lot of godly life. Life and godliness. Life that pertains to godliness. Now, let me say it simple. Living just like God. Glory to God. Can you imagine that? Living on earth, boy, just like God. Living like God, being in, with his character and his nature, being in his image and his likeness. Likeness means function like him, talk like him, act like him, walk like him, live like him, be just like him. That's how Jesus was. He was the express image of the Father. He came down to this earth, boy, to show you and I the Father. And then he said this here, they asked him, said, Lord, show us the Father. They say, Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But that anyway, stop there. He said, if you see me, it's like looking into a mirror. When you see me, then you will be conformed to that same image. Why? Because you created, I'm created just like the Father, and you created just like me. In fact, boy, the Bible says in Proverbs, man, that's what Proverbs chapter 8, that's what inspired God to create you. What? Boy, Jesus said, man, I was with my Father, man, before the mountains and all the earth and the mountain and the seas. And when before anything was, I was with my Father. And I was his delight. He was pleased with me. He loved me so much that, boy, I inspired him to want a whole lot of sons just like me. And that's why he created you. Why? Because he wanted a whole lot of men's sons just like his original son, Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ was, you were inspired by Jesus Christ. Your being on the earth is an inspiration that are inspired by God, by Jesus. I say it again, boy, God loved him so much and was so pleased with him that he wanted a whole family of sons just like him. And the Bible say in Proverbs chapter 8, it say God's delight was with him. And it say, and his delight, talking about Jesus, and his delight was with the sons of man, was with us. So he, boy, the Father wanted, boy, he was just like the Father. And, boy, he delighted the Father so much till the Father created a family of sons called mankind. And Jesus Christ, boy, delight was with the family of son called mankind. What do you mean, boy? He had a desire for all his brethren. What? That they would, man, come to the knowledge of the truth and begin to walk in the reality that they are just like him. Glory to God. And the same thing that he has, we have too. And the Father said this here. Jesus said this. All that the Father has is mine. He given it unto me. And then Jesus wants you to know that all that I have, I've given it unto you, so that as I am, so are you. So that the works that I do, so shall you. So that's the same way the Father sent me, so send I you. But the Father didn't send Jesus into the earth, man, to develop and establish another religion. He sent Jesus into the earth, man, to reestablish, man, the governing influence of God over a territory, man, that he gave you and I called the earth. To fulfill God's original intent and plan for the creation of the earth and mankind. What is that? God wants to establish, boy, his territory, man, to another territory. They call it colonization. And the way God wants to do that is through his family of sons called you and I, mankind. That's his plan of doing that. What? This is God's original plan and intent. This is his original precept. This is his original idea. He wants to extend his governing influence of heaven to a territory he called earth, what he gave you and I and placed you and I on. Why? So that man through us, he might establish more heaven on earth. So that the whole earth will be filled with his glory. That's his plan. His strategy of accomplishing his plan was to fill you with himself, with all of him, all of his character, all of his nature, all of his likeness, man, to fill you with that. That's why he formed the body from the dust of the ground in Genesis chapter 2, and then he put your spirit in that body, then he breathed into that body the breath of life. He breathed the Holy Spirit into our spirits. That's the divine connection between God and man and heaven and earth. Who? That's God himself. That's a divine connection. He breathed on the inside of man's nostrils the breath of life. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. He put on the inside of us, not around us and among us like he did in the Old Testament. He was just around them and among them because he made a promise. I ain't going to leave you and I ain't going to forsake you. I can't live in you no more. But originally, he was dwelling on the inside of man's spirit. Who? The Holy Ghost. Who is that? That's God. That's God in you. I'm going to say that again. Well, when you say you receive the Holy Ghost, you don't understand what you're saying. You're saying that, man, God is on the inside of you. That's the way it first started off. God was in Adam. Hallelujah. As long as God was in Adam, then, man, Adam had a perfect connection, man, between him and God and heaven and earth. So that he could get God's will on the earth. What's God's will on the earth? Man, I told you, we've been praying it all our lives. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. That's it. That's it. That's the ultimate goal right there. God established that. You hear me say this all the time and it bears repeating every time I come on here, really. You know, that boy, that's God's original desire and intent. And God, listen, this was very important that the devil don't ever want you to know that. God set that up. God established that on the earth. That's in your Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You know, listen, you can read that. That's why I say I don't read the Bible to get no sermons out of it. I read the Bible to get the life that's in the Word out of the chapter and verse and into my spirit. But that voice, it don't be just the Logos, the written word or spoken word, but it be a rhema word. What's the difference? A Logos is just a spoken idea or spoken thought. What's the rhema word? That's the living word. That's the word that's alive on the inside of us, man, that's living on the inside of us, and that we are living in. What? The life that's in the word. I don't care nothing about no chapter and verse. In fact, I don't even know the Bible in chapter and verse. I can quote all kinds of scriptures. But if you ask me, man, what is that in the Bible? I can't just directly tell you, well, okay, that's in John chapter 1, verse 23. You know, I can easily find it because, man, you know, my knowledge of the word. But just to quote to you the chapter and verse, man, I don't know too much about all that. Well, I quote, why? Because I ain't quoting it in chapter and verse because I understand something. The original manuscript wasn't written in chapter and verse. It was scrolls. It was letters. I want to read why the chapter and verses in there is for reference, so that, man, we can study, so that we can have some context, and so that we don't take the word of God or the message or the light that's in the word out of its context. Because if you do, then you can pretty much make the word say anything that you want it to say. And that's what a lot of preaching and teaching and ministers have done. They've read the Bible without the revelation of the Bible. And as a result of that, then they come up with many contexts, many concepts, but without, man, an understanding of the original precepts of God, the original idea. So they come up with their own ideas, and they come up with pictures or thoughts of those ideas called concepts. And then, man, they put those concepts into practical applications, and then they come up, man, with religion. What's that? That's man's attempt to reach God, to find God, to get all God has for them. And through those concepts that they have, without the precepts, the original idea, knowing what the original intent and desire and plan and purpose of God is for their life, then they come up with all kinds of ideas. They come up with all kinds of messages that they get from the Word of God, but it's taken out of context. I don't think I'll be stretching it if I say this. Most people read the Bible, man, and take the whole. They taught it in college, man, that you don't want to take the scripture out of context. You don't want to take a verse in the Bible and in a chapter in a verse and just isolate it. You need to know the post text, the context, and the pretext. You need to know, man, what's surrounding that and what that's all about. Because if you just take one scripture out of its context, then you can make it pretty much say anything that you want to say. The Bible say, man, in one part of the Bible, it say, Judah went out and hung himself. And then in another scripture in the Bible, man, you know, it say, go down and do likewise. But both of those verses are these in the Bible, but you don't want to put them together. Why? Because, man, you'd be taking it out of context. Just using that for illustration, you know. Same thing. You don't just want to pull one scripture out of a verse, man, and just preach that without understanding, man, the post-text and the pretext, the verses before that and the verses after that. Same thing with the Bible. You don't want to take the whole Bible out of its context without, man, finding out, man, what the pretext is and what the post-text is. Otherwise, you know what we'll produce? Let me see if I can give you an illustration. It'll be like this. You know, suppose, man, you know, I bought a puzzle, a 1,000-piece puzzle in a box, brand new, you know. And I open up the box, you know, and in fact, on a puzzle on the box, you know, you'll see the big picture. You'll see what? You'll see the end. In the beginning, because on most puzzles, you know, on a box, they have a picture of what all them 1,000 pieces that's in the box, once you put them all together, then, boy, you know, it show you on top of the box what that puzzle is once you put it all together. That's called a pretext. That's called setting a destination even in the beginning. That show you the finished product once you finish. So that way, man, when you open up the box and get your 1,000 pieces out of there, you already know where you're headed to. You're headed to the destination because they show you the destination on the top of the box. They show you a picture, man, of what the puzzle looks like when it's all put together. So that way, man, you know where you're headed. But suppose I took that same puzzle and took the top off the box and put them 1,000 pieces in a paper bag, and I came and gave it to you, and I say, here's a puzzle right here of 1,000 pieces in it. Huh, put this together. Then you can start putting it together, and over time, you probably can put it together. But while you're doing that, you don't have no idea, man, of where you're headed to. You don't have no idea of what this thing is all about, man, once you put it together. All you're doing is just putting, man, pieces of a puzzle together. And then you don't really have no true identity of it until, boy, you get pretty much to the end. Then when you get to the end, then you can pretty much say, okay, this is a picture, man, of a castle. You know, this puzzle is a castle. You know, but if you don't have the big picture, if you don't understand, man, you know what the puzzle is all about, then you'll just be, man, there putting it together. Man, that's the same thing that's happened, man, in religion. Because they don't know, they haven't seen, and they don't realize, man, what the puzzle is. They hadn't seen the top of the box. All they have is the 1,000 pieces. That's all most ministers in religion have. They have the 1,000 pieces. They have the Word of God. They can quote the scriptures and everything else and preach sermons from it and around it and everything else and all about it and everything else. But they really don't know the destination. They really don't know the end from the beginning. They really don't know, boy, where they're headed to. They're just putting it together. It's the same thing that's taking place, man, when you preach the Word of God out of its context. when you don't have men the original precepts. And without that, you don't understand what you're really doing. You're just preaching a message. And the message that you're preaching is not wrong, because it's the word of God. It just preached out of context. I'm going to say it again, you know. They're not wrong. I ain't saying religion is wrong, you know, or evil or bad. It just meant a graveyard. It's something that man God is finished with, that is buried. And man, because man, if you don't know that, then you bury man the gospel of the kingdom right along in that graveyard with it and never come to the knowledge of it. Why? Because you ain't seen the picture on the box, man, of what the puzzle's all about. So the Bible become a puzzle to people. A lot of people don't understand it. That's why they don't read it. But and the reason why they don't understand it, read it and understand it, is because they don't know what it's really all about. Most men are believers, man. This is their concepts. This is their pictured idea. This is the idea they have gotten from their thoughts life without understanding, man, the original idea. Most believers, man, trying their best to make it to heaven with this concept, with this idea, with this picture thought, that they're going to live in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. Hey, that ain't what, man, you know, the Bible is about. That's in the Bible. That's not what it's about. You're going to go to heaven because that's in the Bible. But that's not where you're going to spend eternity. You're coming back to a new heaven and a new earth. And you're going to reign on the earth forever. And it's going to be on earth just like it is in heaven. Forever and ever and ever. Why? Because that's God's original precepts. So, man, you know, and then I come along, man, and then I give to you, or I show you, man, you know, hey, listen, them 1,000 pieces that you have in this bag here, let me show you the box that it came in. And when I show you the box that it came in, on the top of the box, you'll see the picture, man, of what the puzzle looked like once it's all put together. Then once you see that picture of the puzzle all put together, what it's like, then, man, you already know the end. Then now you can start charting your course toward that destination. Why? Because you know the end. Even from the beginning, even before you start, you know the finished product. And, boy, that's what, man, the devil don't ever want you to know. So that, man, you would never be on track to God's perfect will and desire and intent for your life. Otherwise, what you'll be on is God's permissive will, things that he had to permit to take place and happen, and the way he dealt with mankind as a result of them losing the Holy Spirit, getting put out of the Garden of Eden, heaven on earth, and man living out in the wilderness, independent from God and independent from the kingdom of heaven. And down through time, man, you know, through sense, knowledge, reasoning, he's lost the revelation knowledge of what God is doing. And instead of man sticking to his story, we start coming up with all our own stories and all our own ideologies and all our own ideas and all our own thoughts, man. And we start putting them together. And we're not careful, man, we'll preach that. Instead of, man, you know, what God is doing. Let me see if I can say it in this way. We'll be preoccupied, man, with what we can do for God. Instead of, man, you know, getting in on what God want to do for us. And what we want to do for God, they ain't evil. Those are good things. But, boy, what God want to do, man, for us and through us is far greater than anything that we could come up that we want to do for him and through him. Those are good things. But what he want to do for us and through us is far greater. The best we could come up with for our service to our Father in heaven and our service to one another, the best we could come up with. All the good things that we could come up with, all the good programs and seminars and conferences and services that we could come up with, that's a joke compared to, man, you know, what God want to do in and through us. That's why you say, man, not your kingdom, but let my kingdom come. Not your will, but let my will be done. Where? In your life. On earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. And without you understanding that, man, you'll be trying to get your life on earth here, preparing your life on earth here so that you can go to heaven. When Jesus said, man, listen, I come to show you, man, the box. All you've been operating in is the pieces of the puzzle. You've been, man, preaching the pieces of the puzzle. You've been preaching faith. You've been preaching prosperity. You've been preaching healing. You've been preaching, man, salvation. You've been preaching born again. You've been preaching, man, all the pieces of the puzzle. That's because you don't understand, man, the whole puzzle. And listen, if you preach the whole puzzle, what the puzzle is about, once you see the big picture and you preach that, then all the other little pieces, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of faith, the good news of healing, provision, deliverance, all that, that's contained in it. Why? Because those are the pieces. But if you just, man, preach the pieces and don't know what the pieces is all about, then, man, you're just preaching pieces. Boy, when you preach what the thing is all about, what the word is all about, then the pieces is automatically contained in it. Now, you can preach the pieces of it, man, and never, man, preach, man, what the thing is all about. Let me say it another way. You can preach, man, the good news about Jesus and never preach the good news that Jesus preached. I'm going to see if I can say it in even plainer way. You can, help me, Holy Spirit. You can tell all about the good news about Jesus. You can preach all about faith and hermeneutics and eisegesis and all the things that we learned through our five sense reason and theologies and seminaries and schools and churches and all those things like that, man. You can preach all the message, man, and never mention nothing about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of hell. You do the math. You done heard many great messages. But how many messages have you heard, man, about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? When that's the subject matter to the message. When that's the when it's supposed to be the subject matter to every message. Because every message is a means to that end. Every piece of the puzzle that you're working with is a means to the end. What's the end? What they show you on the top of the box, the whole puzzle put together. That's the end. And if you preach the end, then all the pieces, man, are automatically contained in it. But if you just preach the pieces, then you can preach the pieces, man, until Jesus Christ comes, the pieces of the puzzle, and never get to the destination. Why? Because you don't know it. But once it's shown to you, once it's revealed to you, what these thousand pieces is, once you put it together, then you can be putting it together and you know what you're doing. You create, man, that big picture. You're creating, man, what? You know, the original idea and purpose and will and plan of God. That's the big picture. What's that? The establishment of the kingdom of heaven on earth through his family of sons called mankind. You know, the big picture in the Bible. You know, you always hear me quote, man, and say how important, man, Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 in your Bible is. The reason why I always, man, reference that is because that's the big, that's the picture. That's the big picture. That's the original idea of God in those first two chapters. It's like, man, the whole Bible, all the verses in the Bible that you see, man, that you read and that you preach from, all those are pieces to the big picture. But if you don't know the big picture, then all you're doing, like I say, is just preaching the pieces. You know, you can preach the pieces and never know what the big picture is. But if you come to the knowledge of the big picture and preach that, then all the pieces, like I said earlier, man, is automatically contained in those messages. So in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, that's the big picture. That's like if I came to you, at first I came to you with a puzzle in a bag with 1,000 pieces in it. And then you start putting it together. But you don't really understand, man. All you know is you're putting a puzzle together, but you don't understand what it is. Why? Because you haven't seen the big picture. Then when you start putting it together and everything, even though you know you perhaps can, you know what you're doing, but you don't have no idea of the finished product. So you just, man, putting pieces together. But if I came to you and I gave you the box that the pieces came in and you saw on the top of that box, what all those pieces, man, going to look like once you put them together? Boy, it's a whole lot easier, simple for you, man, to understand the pieces then. Why? Because you know the big idea. You know the original intent for all these thousand pieces, what it originally was before it got cut into 1,000 pieces. But that's what Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that's the top of the box. That's the picture. And then all the other verses, man, from Genesis chapter 3 all the way into your Bible in Revelation chapter 20, all those are the pieces that's in there. Now, man, if you want to rightly put them pieces together, because, see, sometimes you can get in a puzzle, you know, when you're putting them together, it looks like some pieces, man, look like they fit right in there, man, but they're just a little bit off. And that's what we've done with the Bible, man. You know, we put pieces, man, that look like they fit in there, but they're just a little bit off. But, man, you know, I couldn't have preached to you, man, and share with you, man, in this radio broadcast. I couldn't have revealed to you once again, man, the box that the puzzle came in with the big picture on the box. But you might understand what you're doing and what you're reading. So that you might have good understanding. Why? Because you know the precepts. You know the original idea. You know what the Word of God is really all about. It ain't about you living good and trying to do the best you can to make it to heaven. It's about God loving you so much, man, that, boy, he had created you, man, to establish his love, his character, his culture, his governing influence of his territory, heaven, to an expanded territory that he called, boy, earth. Hey, listen, my pastor, them over there in Houston, at Let's Go High Ministry, they're doing, man, you know, seminars and expansion week, you know. In fact, you know, the weekend of 15 coming up, you know. And, man, the theme of it is the expansion of God's kingdom. Glory to God. But then, what you talking about? I'm talking about, man, kingdom-minded churches, kingdom-oriented ministries, man. What? That, man, understanding is coming to the knowledge and the understanding, man, of what the Word of God is really all about. What? Man, I'm talking about the establishment of God's kingdom on a territory called earth. And it's, and the expanding of that kingdom on the earth. See, it's in spots on the earth now. It's in the hearts of those who have come into the kingdom now. But, boy, God wanted to be in the hearts of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, so they could be up on the whole earth just like it is in heaven. But it starts with getting it in the hearts of mankind. When mankind comes to the knowledge of it, what the heart mean? The heart, that don't mean that this thing pumping in your body. The heart in the Bible means that's your mind, your way of thinking, your perceptions, the way you see things, your concepts, your thoughts. And when your thoughts and your concepts and the way you see things come from, man, the original thoughts, then, man, you're on the right track then. You're headed toward, boy, the destination that God has set for your life. Not the destination that your religion has set for your life, or your denomination has set for your life, or your religious organization has set for your life, or your preacher has set for your life, or mankind or society has set for your life. But you're headed toward the destination that God has set for your life. And again, the destination, the finished product, the big picture that's on the box, the destination that God has for your life, is that, boy, it being our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And, boy, when you see that big picture, then you start charting your course toward that destination. Instead of charting your course toward the destination of spending eternity in heaven with God. Now, don't misunderstand me. I ain't say we ain't going to go to heaven. What I'm saying is, man, that's not the final destination. And if you're not careful, you'll be preoccupied with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. And thereby, man, you'll be no earthly good. All you'll be doing, man, through religion is trying to live good enough and hope, man, that you make it to heaven. And that's not your assignment. Your assignment is not to go to heaven. Your assignment is to bring heaven to earth. Your assignment is to establish and expand the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. That's our purpose, why God created us. To establish and expand his governing influence of his territory of heaven to the earth. Listen, when Jesus Christ came, that's what he came, man, preaching. Kind of different from what our churches have been preaching. They've been preaching the good news about Jesus, but that ain't what Jesus preached. It was contained in what he preached, but that's not, that wasn't his subject matter. Listen, let me just share some scriptures with you. The Bible says, the people who sit in darkness, who didn't know nothing about the big picture and everything else, they saw a great light. That's in your Bible in Matthew chapter 4. Right before Jesus began right before he began his public ministry. This is the beginning of his public ministry to the earth. Now, and this is right after he had been tempted of the devil. Watch this. The Bible says you can't enter into the strong man's house and spoil his goods until you first bind him up. So when Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, he was led of the Spirit to do what? To go into that place, man, and bind the devil up. You ain't got to bind up no devil. Jesus already bound him up. The Bible says, boy, when they got through it, that happened on there, the Bible says the devil took off from him as in terror. He didn't just walk away from him, man. He took off in terror. He flees from him. I mean, he hurried up and got out of his presence, man. Had to try to go come up with some other kind of strategy. Why? Because he know, boy, that he couldn't do him like he did Adam and Eve in the garden. And, boy, the Bible says, after the devil leaveth him, then he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. And from that time forth, he began to preach and say, repent. This is his inauguration of message. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven has arrived, is near, is at hand. It has returned. Hallelujah. Repent and believe the gospel. What gospel? That the kingdom of heaven is back at hand. Listen, all before that, man, all they were preaching in the Old Testament and the law, they were preaching the pieces to the puzzle. But Jesus Christ come preaching, man, the box, the top of the box. That's the difference. That's the difference between the gospel of Jesus and the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Most of our churches preaching the gospel of Jesus, and the only reason why they do that is because they don't know the gospel that he preached. And, man, that's hard for me to understand. I still can't wrap my mind about that. Because everywhere I see in the Bible, man, it's all about the kingdom of God. Even in the Old Testament, especially in the New Testament, the subject matter to everything in this word, man, is the restoration of God's kingdom back up on the earth. That's what the Old Testament is about, the restoration of God's kingdom back on the earth. The theme of the New Testament is the kingdom has been restored. The Old Testament is the means through which God took his people through in times past and different periods in man history where God was setting up a appointed time where his kingdom that he lost in Genesis chapter 3, that he had set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and lost in Genesis chapter 3, all the way out to Genesis chapter 3, man, to the coming of Jesus Christ, was God's plan and strategy of regaining that kingdom, restoring that kingdom, reestablishing that kingdom, and expanding that kingdom throughout the whole earth. That was the theme of the Old Testament. That what? Is God's strategy and plan of restoring his kingdom that he had in Genesis 1 and 2 back to the earth. Restoring the picture of what all the pieces in the Bible is all about. Restoring the original picture back to the earth. All that was a means to an end. Glory to God. Well, boy, and let me tell you something. And all those means to an end, the prophet, they kept on prophesying about Jesus. That's coming, the Messiah, Yahushua, Yeshua, you know, whatever name you want to call him, Jesus, whatever name you want to call him, man, you know, that's titles. But his real name is, you want to know what his name is, he's the Word of God. That's his name. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 19, saying his name shall be called the Word of God. You're preoccupied with the means, what they call him, instead of, man, and at the expense of losing, man, who he is. He's not Jesus. He's not Yeshua. That's what he represents. That's what he did. That means Savior. But who he is the Word of God. That's his name. Hallelujah. So, boy, I'm talking about all the way up until then. And Jesus Christ, he come preaching, man, and bring back to you the box. All you've been having is the thousand pieces. But when he come to you and bring the box of the with that, the puzzle came in with the picture on top of it, what it's all about, then you can have clarity and understanding and rightly divide the word of truth. If you did that, then all the messages that you preach, and let me make this clear right here. I don't ever want you to think that I'm saying that all the messages that we preach and that have been preached down through time is evil or wrong or not the right message. You'll continue to preach those messages, but you'll preach it under the umbrella of the reestablishment and the advancement and expansion of God's kingdom back on the earth. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 back up on the earth. You'll preach those messages, but you'll preach it under that umbrella, under that light. And you know what will happen as a result of that? We'll start winning multitudes of souls, not to our religion, not to our denomination, not to our churches, but winning souls to the kingdom of God. And boy, that's where the power is at. That's where the anointing is at. That's where the success in ministry is at. It's not trying to build your ministry or build your congregation, but build the kingdom. Win souls to the kingdom of God, and God will give them pastors after their own heart. Hallelujah. There will be kingdom-focused churches, kingdom-focused ministries, churches and ministries that has regained the kingdom of heaven and is reestablishing it back on the earth and expanding it until the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. So what Jesus Christ come preaching, he come preaching, man, the top of the box. What everybody else been preaching, they've been preaching the pieces that's in the box. And again, you can preach the pieces that's in the box and never mention nothing about the top of the box, the big picture, what it's really all about. When Jesus Christ come preaching, he wasn't preaching the pieces that was contained in his message. What he was preaching was the top of the box. He was preaching, man, the end from the beginning. He was preaching, man, the final product. He was preaching, man, like a manufacturer do. Man, before they send this product to the consumer, man, they make sure that it works. That's why they put their name on it. But before they send it out to you, boy, they've been tested. And they make sure it's working. In fact, they give you a manual. And most important parts of the manual that you don't never read is the warranty and the guarantee. They give you a guarantee. They say, if you operate this product, that's why I tell you, man, don't operate this product until you read the whole manual. Then they say, boy, if you operate this product according to the way the manual is, then what we prescribed in this manual, then we guarantee you that this product will work. Why? Because it's already been tested. And not only do we guarantee that it works, but if any kind of way it malfunctions or have any kind of problem, listen, don't send that to no unauthorized dealer. Send it back to us. And we guarantee you that we will replace it with authorized parts. And that we will, and you send it back to us at our expense. And we will repair it at our expense. And we will send it back to you, man, a working product at our expense. And listen, the manufacturer don't even really know you. But they're doing that for their name's sake. Why? Because their name is on that product. And if the product ain't working right, man, their name on it, then they get a bad reputation, man. They product go under. And the same thing with God, boy. Everything he's doing, man, shout light and everything else, that's for his name's sake. Even though he know you, but everything that he's doing is for his name's sake. So Jesus Christ, man, went about preaching in their synagogue the kingdom of heaven and healing all manner of sickness and disease. When he begun his ministry, he had one message, the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then, man, over in a few verses further, it says this here in verse 23, and Jesus Christ went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching, watch this, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and diseases, all kinds of diseases among the people. What was Jesus Christ preaching? He was preaching, boy, the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? The big picture. Look over in Matthew chapter 9. It says this, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. My God. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into his harvest. Watch this here. You say, listen, boy, the people, man, everything that people are looking for, boy, is in this message. It's in the kingdom of God. But the labors are few. The fields are ripe for harvest, but the labors are few. I don't have no ministry. I don't have no kingdom focused churches. I don't have no kingdom focused ministry. I don't have no pastors and prophets and evangelists and teachers and everything else and theologians and popes and none of that. Ain't none of them preaching the kingdom, man. What everybody is looking for, boy, what everybody wants, because everything that everybody wants, everything, that's why you're trying to get to heaven, because all your utopias, that's where that's at. So we preaching it, man, like it's in the sweet vine bomb, and Jesus Christ come preaching and saying, it's near, it's here, it's at hand, it was in your reach. And boy, I'm talking about the multitudes following him, man, because they saw the signs and wonders, man. You got people following the signs and wonders, man, instead of following the word of God and the kingdom of God. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God and get in there and get your citizenship in order and operate and be law-abiding citizens, then all them rights that the government has for you, man, that's yours automatically. You don't have no laborers. You don't have no kingdom-focused ministry. Listen. At the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry, as we begin to close, he had one message, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. All through his message, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, man, he preaching one message, boy. Many aspects of it, but one message, boy, the kingdom of God. Listen, when he told Nicodemus he must be born again, he wasn't preaching born again to him. Nicodemus asked him, how you getting to this kingdom? For the born again is the means to an end. He said, that's how you get citizenship in the kingdom. Nicodemus wasn't asking him nothing about being born again. Nicodemus was asking him how to get into this kingdom that he hears Jesus preach about. But all through his ministry, man, even at the end of his ministry, man, you know, when he went before Pilate, he said, listen, man, Jesus, Pilate said, are you a king? He said, yeah, I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. He's preaching what? The kingdom of God at the beginning of his ministry, all through his ministry. At the end of his ministry, he preaching one message, what? The kingdom of God. Listen, after his death and his burial and his resurrection, let me see if I can find that for you. Over in the book of Acts, it says Jesus Christ, man, appeared unto, let me just turn that so I can quote it right for you. And we're just getting close. I got about 1 minute left. But listen at this. Acts chapter 1. This is after his death, burial, and resurrection. This is what the Bible says. The former account I made, O Theophilus, and to all Jesus Christ began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to his apostles whom he chose, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, and being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Listen, even at the end of his ministry, after his death and burial and resurrection, he still ain't preaching but one message. What? He said he appeared to them after his resurrection, and he's still preaching what? Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He had but one message. He was preaching the big picture. And boy, when you preach the big picture, that clothes, boy, then you'll have good understanding. Why? Because you'll know God's precepts. That's the purpose for this ministry. That's a prayer for you tuning in to this radio broadcast so that, man, you can go higher and that you can reach your next and go keep going to your next until, boy, you get the full consummation of, boy, what God is doing in the earth today, what? Establishing his kingdom in a territory called earth that he gave to you and I through us. Listen, y'all, I love y'all with the love of my heart. You stay tuned in to this broadcast, and, man, you're going to grow in the kingdom of God. You're going to keep going from your next to your next, like my pastor in Houston, Pastor Lee, to say, and to going higher. That's the name of that message, going higher. Let's go higher. And that's what we're doing. We're going higher into what? Out of religious living into kingdom life. Out of man being crucified with Christ to living a resurrected life. And you stay tuned. My wife, Gail, and I, we love you. We Kingdom Life Fellowship Ministries located here in Bunker. If you like any information or copies of our messages on recording, we'll send them to you. Just contact us at area code 713-870-3776. If you don't remember that number, just call KYT 88.1 FM Radio and ask them about the ministry at Beyond on Saturdays from 12 to 1. And they'll give you our information and number if you don't have nothing to write down with. We love you. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Stay blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur Levine. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life.